Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As some of you are aware, during the past year or so, I've been putting the finishing touches on a book I've been writing for a long time on the new Mass. This, I believe, will be the first lengthy study of the new Mass that has been done since 1979. I have 13 of the 14 chapters in the book completed and just sent them off yesterday for proofing. As you can imagine, a project like this occupies quite a bit of your time and quite a bit of your thoughts. And one of the places that I'm accustomed to think about articles and things like this is when I'm walking around in airports. And I spend a lot of time doing that, going to Florida, going to Milwaukee, and so on. You get a lot of good ideas sometime in that downtime. A couple of weeks ago, I forget exactly where, I was getting into an elevator in an airport somewhere, and of course they now have elevator music in the background, different pop type songs. And one of the things I've started to notice is that the songs tend to be oriented toward my generation, toward baby boomers. So you get a lot of oldies, for us old geezers. And the one that was playing as I was getting into the elevator a few weeks ago and thinking about the question of the new Mass was a song, and I think it was by the folk singer Joni Mitchell. And the refrain went, "Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?" Now, this struck me as kind of an interesting juxtaposition. Catholics of my generation knew the pre-Vatican II church. The church was arrayed in those days like a glorious army. We had wonderful religious observances. The church was an institution that was respected in modern society, had great influence, indeed was the bulwark in many respects of Western society. There is unity in faith, there is unity in discipline, there is unity in worship. And then my generation saw it all pulled down, all destroyed in a few years. It was gone. Each of us, in his own way, looked for refuge from this destruction to find what had gone. Those of the first generation, the older traditional Catholics among you, members of the laity, sought out the few priests who still celebrated the old Mass and preached traditional Catholic doctrine. But we could find the Catholic Mass and the Catholic faith virtually nowhere. In the case of those of my generation who aspired to the priesthood, we ended up in Switzerland with the Society of St. Pius X. It was ordained by Archbishop Lefebvre and came back to the United States. But what we faced was not what had been before, for that was all gone. We began our priestly apostolate not by offering Mass in magnificent neo-Gothic or neo-Romanesque parish churches, but instead in beer halls, in rooms in the Holiday Inn, and in one case in the social room of a Ponderosa steakhouse. There were only a few of us. We spent a great deal of time on airplanes, a great deal of time in cars, traveling around. Only a few priests. And the faithful traditional Catholics in those days would come to Mass any time you offered it, no matter when. In the middle of a Sunday afternoon, Even if you had Mass in one place, only on a weekday people would come. Bishop Dolan, when he began his apostolate, founded at least 30 missions throughout the United States. And for one string of them, what we jokingly refer to as the Mud Run in the upper Midwest, he would start by offering Mass the Sunday evening in St. Paul, Minnesota, and then go to a series of missions scattered across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, then back to Iowa and to Illinois. And people would come any time Mass was offered. Eventually, since you cannot suppress the Catholic faith, eventually more people realized what had gone on in the church after Vatican II. And bit by bit, the numbers of Catholics who wanted the old Mass and the old religion started to grow, started to increase. And as I look back, these more than 30 years, I see that now there is infinitely more interest in the traditional Mass and infinitely more interest in the pre-Vatican II faith than there was when I was ordained to the priesthood. Subsequent generations of traditional Catholics eventually acquired nice churches and chapels, eventually got resident priests, set up schools, seminaries, convents, began the old parish programs and activities again. Things, of course, still aren't as easy as they were before Vatican II, but things are much, much better than they were 30 years ago. But with this, there comes sometime a shift in attitude, and people start to think what they have, to take what they have as something to take for granted. And people become a little bit less zealous, bit by bit. Or they become simply Sunday Catholics, lukewarm Catholics. Or they endlessly carp and endlessly criticize about this, that, and the other thing, instead of thanking Almighty God for all the blessings that we truly have. Just think of our situation here. In Christmas of 1978, we had Mass in the Montgomery Businessmen's Club, a small group. I remember how strange it was to celebrate the Mass under such circumstances. But there we were. There we were. Not even a place to stay, then that night off to the hotel at the airport to catch a flight to go somewhere else the next day. So from these little beginnings here, we went to a larger church, and now this magnificent church with a school, a social hall, resident priests, and so on. All the good things that we have. Today is Mission Sunday. It is also the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist. It is a reminder that we all need to be missionaries. We all need to convert others. And if necessary, from time to time, we even need to reconvert ourselves. There is a good opportunity that you'll have next week to do just this, to renew your zeal, to show you and your family that when it comes to the Catholic faith, you really know what you've got. The blessings of the Mass, the sacraments, the true Catholic faith. Next week, we will be occupied with our annual 40 hours devotion. This was one of the high points of parish life in the good old days, a time of renewing one's fervor. And we keep up that tradition here at St. Gertrude the Great. I suspect that we're probably the only traditional chapel in the country at this point that has 40 hours devotion each year. Why should you come to a 40 hours devotion? First of all, public profession of your faith in our Lord in the Eucharist. Faith in the traditional teaching on the Eucharist has been challenged countless ways by modernists in our own time. They view the Eucharist as only a symbol, or they'll say that, well, only the meaning of the bread and wine change. There are all these false ideas. And the new Mass, the whole new system of worship, is predicated on another false idea, and that is this, that the primary presence of Christ at Mass is in the assembled people, and that it is in Scripture. And this new teaching is the basis for the creation of the new Mass of Paul VI. And it absolutely destroys the nature of the Mass, as which consists in its essence in the sacrifice. It destroys and it undermines Catholic doctrine. And you see the different externals of the new Mass that reinforce this false doctrine about the presence of Christ and the Eucharist. You see lay distributors of communion. You see the reduction of genuflections to three during the course of the new Mass. Or you see the awful practice of communion in the hand. All these undermine faith in the Eucharist. We have to be different as faithful Catholics and come and adore our blessed Lord. Coming to a 40 hours devotion is a profession of the Catholic faith for you, that I believe and love our Lord present in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. Together with the public profession of the faith, it is also a reparation for neglect, that perhaps we do not take time for visits of adoration to the Blessed Sacrament. When I was growing up, this was the cornerstone of Eucharistic devotion, that kids after school or before school would go into the church sometime on their own and simply say some prayers of adoration to the Blessed Sacrament. It didn't take very long, but it shows our Blessed Lord of your faith in Him and your love for Him. And this is not just for those who are regulars coming to church during the course of the week, but something that is important for everyone as well. Our Lord is present in the tabernacle to be visited and to be adored as well. You may have neglected this. You may have neglected to receive the Eucharist as often as you could have, without a proper preparation. So this is an opportunity to make reparation for that neglect, to fix it as well, to renew your fervor. So, public profession of the faith, reparation for neglect, and then you show Christ how you love Him. This is the strongest reason, perhaps. In the context of the family, people that we love, we know we love, perhaps we may take them for granted as well, and we may not express our love for them. This may be through a bit of thoughtlessness and so on, but if a special occasion comes around, like a birthday or Christmas, Often this is a reminder that we have to repair a little bit of our neglect. So we splurge a bit in terms of time or attention. And the 40 hours devotion is an opportunity for you to do that when it comes to your faith in our Eucharistic Lord. You have the schedule with today's bulletin. Friday evening, we open the 40 hours devotion with a Mass and a procession at 5:30 p.m. This is followed by a harvest chili supper. We invite you to bring chili, harvest chili of your choice. And for those who attend the Mass, the abstinence is dispensed. Our adoration then will continue all night. This will anticipate by 2 weeks our first Friday adoration, so we will not have, for the November first Friday, we will not have all-night adoration then. So we invite our regular schedule of adorers to come instead during this Friday night, during the 40 hours, and adore at the regular hours by anticipation. Saturday, we have early morning Masses scheduled beginning at 6:30, and then at 9 a.m., there is the Solemn Mass of St. Raphael, which is offered for all who are in need of God's healing. Adoration continues throughout the day. 1:30 p.m., Solemn First Vespers of Christ the King, 4 p.m., October Devotions, 5 p.m., Compline and Benediction. It's generally during the afternoon time that we need extra adorers, both on Saturday and on Sunday. So if you can, make an effort to come then. At 5 p.m., after Compline and Benediction, we repose the Blessed Sacrament until Sunday morning. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. We begin with exposition at 6:30 a.m., and adoration continues all day with our Masses at the regular time. Again, if you can, try to come in the afternoon sometime. 5 p.m., we have a Solemn Second Vespers of Christ the King, low Mass at the regular time, and then 7 p.m., closing procession and benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, followed by light refreshments for those who care to stay in Helfta Hall. So take the schedule home with you and resolve that you will come to adore. Come more than once to just a Mass. Try to come again another time for an hour of adoration. Come alone, come together as a family, young and old. And I encourage you to bring devotional books, bring your rosary with you to occupy the time well. Learn to use your time well for the Blessed Sacrament. And these devotional items can be a starting point for your prayers of adoration in your own words to our Eucharistic Lord. So, come to the 40 hours next weekend. Show our Lord that when it comes to all the wonderful things you have here, show him that you know what you've got. You understand the blessings that you have received. And at 40 hours, show our blessed Lord your gratitude. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.